ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the Bears Podcast. We have a full backfield this week. Both Mike P's are here, Mike Pusateri and Mike Prasnowski. Guys, how are you?
Doing well, Andy.
Well, I was unsuccessful. Alpha's not back on the air, so I don't... I'm back anyway.
Pick it somewhere else. Maybe that didn't work.
Well, a lot of options. We'll have to re-strategize. Yeah.
He'll be making a cameo appearance in the new upcoming Grand Theft Auto game. Yeah.
He's probably on Cameo. I wonder if Alpha's actually on Cameo. It probably is.
What's he streaming on? Peacock. And Amazon Prime. Oh, you can get Alpha everywhere.
He's everywhere. Oh.
I mean, it's like he never left.
Yeah.
It was no good segue.
It wasn't.
Let's see. If you like it. Yeah,
it's got a... You got like a steamboat
cats? No.
No. So I was gonna say, you got a Steamboat Willie you want to try to segue into it now that he's in the public domain?
Yeah. Oh, we can use the shit out of Steamboat Willie now if we want.
Yeah, they're making a horror film out of Steamboat Willie.
Disney can't do anything about it. It's like, well, it was Winnie the Pooh last year, right? Same thing.
That was it?
Public domain, and somebody made that horror movie with Winnie the Pooh in it.
Crazy.
Big money in that, I think.
Yeah.
But I guess if the IP is free, you're halfway home. Sissy.
Well, speaking of medicine bears like Winnie the Pooh.
There we go. Ooh, nice job.
There it is. There it is. There you go.
Yeah, our beloved Bears were actually not eliminated from the playoffs contention until Sunday night.
Yeah,
the Vikings and Packers refused to tie. That was one of the things that would have to happen. It didn't happen.
I was rooting against both of them equally as hard.
One of the first blows to the Bears or Packer or the Bears playoff chances was when the Giants' new kicker Mason Crosby missed a field goal at the horn that would have beat the Rams.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that little Oompa Loompa was actually back. But I guess we see why.
Yep.
Right.
We do.
So the Bears are playing for nothing this Sunday except for, well, two things. For pride and a win will keep the Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That's not nothing.
We talked about it. Nothing. They are, you know, they're going to be this year's Lions. And they kind of are. The second half
Lions
surge, the chance to go to Lambeau and knock off the Packers and keep them out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, getting ahead of ourselves, but we might as well talk about it now. Did you see who is televising this game?
I heard about this. CBS.
It's a CBS
back-to-back weeks with an all-NFC matchup on CBS.
So Bears Packers on CBS, just like the good old days when the Bears used to actually win. That's a bad one for the Packers.
Very
so it'll
bad.
Be, it's going to be Tim Ryan and Johnny Morris on the call.
That would be great.
Actually, it's going to be Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
Yes.
This is as close a thing to a playoff game as they have in the afternoon. It's the afternoon game. It's not even a noon. It's a 3:25.
Right. Oh, man.
So it's all,
a big deal.
It's all setting up for another Bear embarrassment. I mean, for the Bears to go up there and show them who's who.
Show them who's boss.
So you could make the argument, if the Bears win this game, that even though the Lions get to hang their little flag or whatever for winning the division, the Bears could make an argument that they are the best team in the NFC North.
I mean, the second half of the really season, definitely.
They beat the shit out of the Lions twice, only got one win.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Vikings, right. Probably should have beaten them the first game when Justin got hurt. And now if they go and beat the Packers in Lambeau, I mean, that's worthy of a...
Well...
The Cubs are going to hang up a fifth best record in the National League in the second half banner. I mean, Ryan Poles can hang up a, you know, have taken the North banner just like he promised.
The Packers out of the playoffs banner.
Yeah.
This whole offseason is really dependent on how this game goes. I mean, it's always an outsized game, Bears-Packers, but with the Bears' chance to eliminate the Packers, your fans are either going to feel real good or real shitty at the end of this one.
Well, and not just that, but it's the Bears entering this game with no real incentive to lose because thanks to the Panthers yesterday, got the number one pick locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no conflict. You don't need to be like, well, right. You know, it'd be great to beat the Packers, but
right.
It doesn't really serve our interests. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it'll affect your draft position a slot or two at the most, I would think.
Right.
But right. You're talking, are you going to pick 11th or 10th? It's not like you're first or second.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the way you said that, though, makes me nervous because to me, this is a very George McCaskey. You know, that whole weird family puts such a huge like emphasis on the Bear Packer games.
Mm-hmm.
That I could see them being like, well, shit, now we blew this. Now we got to tear everything down, or we won. We're on our way. We're the greatest team in the NFL. We don't need to make any changes. Everything's wonderful.
I think it's very possible. And I know you've written about the, you know, the Bears should have made their decisions on Luce and certainly Getsy, maybe not Fields at this point, but certainly the coaching staff, that they should have made their decisions by now. And it probably should have, and they may well have. But if they lose this game to the Packers, it's going to be real hard, you know, that Monday press conference, Ryan Poles come and say, hey, we're bringing back the Luce. And conversely, if they win, it could be, we're bringing everybody, we're running it all back. Getsy, Flews, Fields, they're all back. We are on our way. We're 8-9. Great improvement. You know, finish the season strong. This game could
actually think that way, then we're fucked. We're so fucked. Well, that's a fan's way of thinking. That's not how they're actually supposed to think. Like, we're the ones
that doesn't
supposed
mean
to
not.
Get all fired up and go, oh, they should fire that dumb shit and blah, blah, blah. That can't be how you actually make the decisions.
Well, the only way
we'll
know.
It's just a window into the 40 years of ineptness. Because at the end of the day, we want to see him beat the Packers. We want to, you know, it'd be so great to just flip off the Packers on the way out of town and be like, enjoy it. But at the end of the day, to everybody but us, it is another game, except to the fans. And if that's how you're making your decisions, they have no chance of ever getting this right, ever.
Well, there's a non-zero percentage of that's how they're going to make it. But We'll know for sure. Here's how we'll know for sure. If the Bears lose and Flus is coming back, that's the announcement, then we'll know that they've already made the decision on Flus. That that game had no effect on it.
Well, if they think he's coming back today, then he needs to be coming back. This one game in Green Bay isn't the, it shouldn't be the determiner of whether you think your franchise is going in the right direction or not.
That's not what I'm arguing. I'm saying the way we'll know if it was is if that happens. Because if they win,
yeah,
it's almost, surely they're going to bring the Flus back. And you know, the only way we'll know for sure if the decision has been made today is if the Bears lose and on Monday polls announce Flus is back. That means the decision is made as we're talking right now.
Yeah, I mean, short of them going up there and pulling a Mark Trestman and getting beat 55-14.
Yeah, something like that. Sure.
The outcome does not determine your entire. I would say this: you can't let the fucking Packers determine how you're going to play out your entire next season. There better be a little more strategy than that. Then that's basically like going up. Just put it all on. Might as well go to Pottawatomie and put it all on Black 12 and spin it. And let's see what are we doing next year.
Yeah,
that's the same idea.
Yeah, and I'm not. I'm not saying you're. I disagree, but I'm just saying if they lose and they come back and announce Flus, with particularly with a guy like Jim Harbaugh out there. Now, I don't want anything to do with Jim Harbaugh and his cheating ways, and I think you feel the same way. And I don't know where you are, Perez, but
I could pass on him.
Yeah, that. But you know, a lot of Bears fans are salivating for Jim Harbaugh, so it just gets real, real complicated.
I'm not worried at all about Jim Harbaugh. You know, there's no way that, you know, Poles isn't losing his job, and there's no way he's bringing in a coach that's going to want roster control. So
I agree.
Thankfully,
I agree.
We can Jim can go tuck his fucking sweatshirt and his khakis some other town, because we we don't need that. He ruined enough of my like high school years as a quarterback. I do not need him returning to with that enthusiasm unknown to mankind or whatever, that all that shit is. Just so much crap that comes with that guy.
I know, it's great.
Even he's without the, right, the cheating, it's just it's just such a bunch of corny bullshit. It's like just
Jesus would have been a five-star recruit.
Forcing yourself to be tied to JJ McCarthy to possibly making that draft pick.
This is how scientific I am. This is my scouting that I do for the NFL draft. Is on the day of the doubleheader for the playoffs, I watch the ESPN feed that has the sky cam. Mm-hmm. I like it for two reasons. Number one, it is a good way to watch the game because you're behind the quarterback, you see everything. On the second TV, I have like the regular broadcast, so I can see the regular replays. I don't have to listen to Kirk, which I don't hate, but it's like he's not Kirk and Chris Fowler. Chris Fowler's bad, and Kirk's not really adding anything. You just get like the crowd noise and the PA announcer.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, okay.
What you can really see, and I noticed this last year with watching Ohio State and Georgia, I was really impressed with C.J. Stroud because you could see just how little time he had to make decisions and how decisive he was with his play. Mm-hmm. And then it was really reinforced a week later when I watched the great Max Duggan just shit his pants on every snap. Just he had no time, but he had no answer either. It was just like, oh my god. So you got to see four quarterbacks yesterday. So you saw the great Quinn Ewers of Texas.
Ewers,
Ewers.
I mean, he's no Arch Manning. And apparently, well, I've never seen Arch actually play. Right. You got to see Jalen Milrow, who's just not. I mean, that's really a running back playing quarterback. That's what that is. With the great Tommy Rees dialing up the most nonsensical plays and when you really need him. But then the two quarterbacks that were actually worth watching were J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix.
Mm-hmm.
Penix was super. He is super impressive. I mean, if this guy had knees, he'd be a first-round draft pick. But he doesn't, and he's 40 years old. And, you know, he's going to go in, like, the fourth round, and he's going to be somebody's backup, and he'll have some good games. But that dude, I mean, that – plus he has – his three wide receivers – would be like the third best wide receiving core in the NFL if they were there right now. And those dudes are always open. It's amazing.
Especially right.
Rome Odunze is just, from the second he takes off, he's blown by whoever is up there.
Right.
So very impressive with Penix, because the thing I really liked about him, they have that, the tight end who I thought
it's
was a Penix, fullback.
You know, it's Penix, by the way.
No, it's Penix. It's Penix.
It's definitely Penix.
It's Penix. Okay. Actually, there's a family in Rockford that owns like barbershop stuff, and they are the Penixes. Same Peterson. Spelling. Okay, great. So okay. He's not fooling anybody with panics. They had that tight end, 37, I thought was their fullback at first because he was wearing 37. The cool thing about that dude is Penix could throw the ball as hard as he wants to that guy, and that guy will catch it. So, like, all the little short routes, he's just gunning it. Like, he's just – and literally, the first time he threw him a ball, I'm like, Jesus, would you let up? The dude's not – the guy caught everything. It didn't matter. Right. He threw as hard as he needed to, which makes all that little underneath stuff work because you don't worry about a Texas guy getting his hand on it because the ball's coming 90 miles an hour. So I'm really impressed with Penix. And, like, you know, and obviously there's a lot of stuff. His 6 years in college football, you know, he's seen it all. He's done it all. He should be a good player, and he is. But he can really throw. His medical thing is as long as your arm. And it's like holy shit.
Yeah.
But, so then the other game, J.J. McCarthy. I could not have been less impressed. He was the Rose Bowl MVP. Blake Corum did all the fucking work.
Yeah. Right.
So like, you figure like the best, and they made some huge plays in their comeback, although they should not have had to come back. That's not a very, the Alabama team's not that good. And they still almost beat them because Michigan just stepping on
Michigan
everywhere. Can't catch
exactly.
a punt. You know,
missing extra points. Yeah.
Yes. But the fourth down play on the drive that tied it, it was a great play. And all you had to do, it throws a little 4 yard dink to Corum, who heads up the sidelines, gets the first down. The touchdown pass he threw is a great play. Everybody went right, and they leaked out the little slot guy behind the line. He's all by himself. I mean, I could make that throw, for God's sakes. But Bama was able to speed him up, and he made some just awful decisions. So I'm like, you know who he is? This is perfect. I know why Jim Harbaugh loves him. You know who he is?
He's Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. That's exactly who he fucking is. He's Jim Harbaugh 30 years later.
That's
why
similar.
He loves J.J. McCarthy. So go get him. Somebody's going to take that dude in the first round, and they're going to be like, I really thought he'd be better. But I thought it was very enlightening. How about this? After Joe Connor, did you know Connor Stallions was at the game? Did you see the picture of him?
No.
Shaved his head, but he was there. But somebody said, well, at least he wasn't at the Sugar Bowl stealing the signals. He at least was at their own game. He was there in the stands as a fan. He was there.
Yeah.
JJ threw 3 touchdown passes in the Rose Bowl, which is why he was the Rose Bowl MVP, even though Blake Corum should have been the Rose Bowl MVP. Do you know how many touchdown passes that makes for him in the 6 games since the Connor Stallions thing broke?
You're going to say 3?
4.
4.
He threw 1 touchdown pass in the last 5 regular season games.
Wow.
He averaged 155 yards passing in those 5 games.
Pure coincidence, I'm sure. Nothing to do with any kind of shenanigans.
Nope. So, all right. Take your J.J. McCarthy and his weird... See, where's the... He does the Wolverine eye black.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. Go away.
Yeah. That's enough of that.
So there was that. So, but meanwhile... On days may have no meaning. I guess it was Sunday. Is that when the Bears played?
Who knows?
Yes. Who knows what day it is now?
Yeah.
It's funny too because there's if the Bears decide they want to trade Justin, one of the teams that are always linked to are the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
That first half, he basically was like, "Just give them all your give them the next 10 first round picks for me."
Yeah.
Because look at this.
Right.
I'm going to make
2024 Ricky Williams.
Perfect.
Yeah. Right.
The touchdown pass to DJ in the corner, he literally couldn't place that ball more perfectly.
Oh my God.
And
that
then
was a beautiful
I love
throw.
DJ Moore is so good. On that play, too, when you watch the replay, the defender is there. DJ doesn't DJ doesn't flash his hands until the ball is almost in them. So the corner has no idea the ball's coming. He's just like, I got him. And all of a sudden, DJ at the last second throws his hands up and the ball's right there for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was amazing. First play of the game was a really nice. It ended up being more of a fade than they meant, but it was like a 40-yard gain. And then the catch, I don't know how you catch a football. The Willie Mays catch over the head. Like, when do you even see the ball? It's got to be like almost in your hands before you actually see it emerges over your head.
Yeah.
Right. And especially with a helmet on, too. How much peripheral vision behind you are you really getting?
And as good a pass as any was that dime to Tyler Scott.
Yep.
It was dropped.
Yeah. No, he played great.
fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of those where you. That's why Bear fans, me included, love him and want him to. You see that, and you're like, oh, if you could just be that, like, 80% of that all the time, and then every once in a while you amp it up to that, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't see any reason why you can't get there. I mean, the thing with Fields, all his faults are correctable. They're coachable. You have to coach him on arm strength. You don't have to coach him on size, speed. You know, it's things like, you know, okay, getting rid of the ball a little quicker, you know, going through progressions, although we saw him go through his progressions very well.
Well, it also helps when the Bears offensive line basically gave the Falcons defensive line the boot, like from the very beginning. I was like, oh,
yeah,
you will not be rushing the quarterback today. And they maybe on one occasion you will, and Justin will just duck under the two guys, and he'll run for a first down anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I also thought that this helped that, actually, in a weird way, the injuries to Mooney and Kmet, it made Justin more decisive because basically DJ Moore was the first option on everything.
Yeah, right. But that said, he still spread it around. I looked it up. He hit seven different receivers, so he did a really good job spreading it around, even with the focus rightfully on DJ Moore.
Yeah, he played really well. While that was happening, the great CJ Beathard, all of our favorite quarterback, was leading the now. Actually, the guy who should, you know, there's no playoff share to vote, but the Bears should send Eddie Pinheiro like a ham or something. Eddie injured himself in warmups, so the Panthers didn't have a kicker. So anytime they got in field goal range, they just had to go for it. And Bryce got sacked every time they went for it on fourth down. when it was 6-0, the game was over. There was no, the Panthers weren't scoring a touchdown, and they couldn't kick a field. They couldn't kick three field goals, so they couldn't kick one. It was great. Yeah. Because I watched it on Red Zone, I didn't see who kicked off, but they only had to kick off once. It's probably the punter, but I was like, oh, I hope they have a lineman kick off because that's always fun.
Yeah.
Brought John Casey out of retirement.
I also thought it was funny that a lot of the Bear beat reporters clearly had no idea that the only thing that had to happen for the Bears to get the number one pick was for Carolina to lose. Because Carolina loses, and then they get super excited when the Cardinals take the lead in Philly. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this could wrap up the number one
pick.
It's like, oh, God, I hate to break it to you, Patrick Finley. It's already wrapped up.
It's wrapped.
And maybe I would have thought somebody down there would have let you know what the scenario was.
It does make things interesting though for next week in terms of like the Bears, if they want to trade back on the number one pick, because now with the Cardinals beating the Eagles, Dallas jumps them for first place. They clinch first place with a win over Washington in week 18. So Washington would be locked in at number two with a loss, I believe. And they would be the team you'd probably prefer to trade back with because they'd be more inclined to want to get one of the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right, but you're saying we need Washington to fall to three.
That's ideal.
Right.
To fall to three,
because if they're two, they just sit there and take the other one.
But they're playing the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have a chance to clinch the NFC East with a win. So,
that doesn't look,
I don't think there's any
that
chance of that happening.
Yeah, it don't look too good for that.
No, I think if the Bears are looking for somebody to trade back to, to me, the goobers waiting to be fleeced are always the Raiders. Always. And they're going to be, they're picking, what, fourth or fifth, I think. So they're in prime, we got to get up to one territory. And you just call Mark Davis and his awful haircut, and you're like, hey, you know, it's going to take. So what was it? Chuggo, the bricklayer on Chuggo. He's like, well, the Raiders, they get three number ones and Mason Crosby. Mason Crosby? Yeah, Mason Crosby.
Mason Crosby.
What's the goddamn?
Max Crosby.
Mason's older brother. Mason's older brother, Max. Younger brother, Max.
Yeah, right.
And like, okay, no, you're not getting three and the player. I hate to
Yeah.
But he's like, well, it's the Raiders, they'll do it. Like, well, yeah, the Raiders are dumb. I don't think they're that dumb. But yeah, I mean, I saw today there was a thing going around like, is this the greatest trade in Chicago sports history? you know, you
yet to be determined, but great return so far.
I also saw there are a bunch of people who don't know what a trade is, because there were people, no, it's Marian Hossa.
Yeah, everybody goes,
was not a trade.
That was a free agent signing. And then there was another
John
one.
John McDonough spending a
somebody
lot.
Somebody had a non-Chicago trade. Oh, the Herschel Walker. No, the Herschel Walker trade was better. It's like, what part of greatest trade in Chicago sports history do you not understand?
Yeah.
Hell, if you're going to go non-Chicago trade that affected Chicago, go Ricky Williams, because didn't some of those draft picks find their way to the Bears?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Hopefully somebody really good, like John Allred or somebody. it's just wading into the mentions ever is always dicey. But I was just amused by, like, the first five replies were all so wrong. It's like, well, just don't call. John Greenberg made the case for not one but two Jim Hendry trades.
Aramis.
Derek Lee and Aramis Ramirez.
Yeah. Those are up there.
Yeah, the last time I had John on, we talked about, I mean, Hendry, for all of his faults, made some pretty incredible trades. He also made a couple of awful ones.
He did.
He did.
He also drafted a couple of pretty good guys, too. So, science.
When he wasn't busy drafting guys from his old high school in back-to-back years.
He did okay.
Brian Dopierik and Ryan Harvey.
Right.
It's like, do you make any other – for a while, his extensive scouting was the coach at Notre Dame was his buddy, Paul Maneri, and they would call his old buddy who was coaching at his old high school. And that's how he's making his first-round draft picks. It's like, oh,
perfect.
Jim, I know the Tribune's not giving you a lot of money for scouting, but you got to do some, maybe a little more than this.
Yeah.
God, I hope somebody good went to Ryan Poles High School. Did Marvin Harris, the junior, go to Ryan Poles High School?
Yeah,
right.
Why is it Jason, is it Leiser from the Sun-Times?
Leisure.
Had,
pronounces leisure. It leisure, which cracks me up.
Now he doesn't pronounce it Penix.
Penix. It's Penix. It's not Penix.
Jason Penix from the Sun-Times. Well, he had, now this assumes, of course, Washington finishes third, that the Bears and Bears flip with Washington. They take Marvin Harrison Jr. They get the Washington's number one pick in 2025. And they get the Bears get their number two pick back, the one they use for Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
I'll take that trade. I love that.
Yeah, there are.
I really don't want to miss on Marvin Harrison Jr. And that's the problem with trading with the Raiders, right? Is he's going to be gone by then.
Yeah.
Well, and there was an announcement from the Cardinals today saying they're more than likely sticking with Kyler Murray next year. So they won't be drafting wide receiver. They won't be drafting quarterback.
Quarterback, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, they paid him all that money. And he's actually, he's been inconsistent since he came back. But he hasn't been bad. And he was really good against the Eagles. Although, I don't know what's going on with that. With the Eagles
defense.
That's
a weird team all of a sudden, yeah.
They demoted the great Sean Desai to go with Matt Patricia, and the defense has gotten even worse, just right in a shitter.
Yeah.
By the way, for what it's worth, notable alumni at Canandaigua Academy, where Ryan Poles went to high school. He's the only sports-related person that went there. The rest is all politicians.
He played for the Bears in a training camp. So
that's true.
That's his NFL experience. He got slapped around by Alex Brown and Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher for a week. And then off to scouting.
Yeah.
So he probably maybe brags more about being the director of college scouting for the Chiefs when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Is that maybe higher up on his list of brags than that he is the greatest player from his high school?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, it just has him listed as GM of the Bears, but nothing. They should probably list that too, the guy that, you know, was involved in drafting Patrick Mahomes.
All right, so fans, we all want this as soon as possible. If you're waiting to get news about, you want a similar Kyler Murray announcement about Justin, you'll get one in April, probably. So hang on, because it's not happening anytime soon. I have my list here of, if I were Ryan Poles, the five things that I need to know before I can make my decision. Hold on, my notepad. Yes, I always have a reporter's notebook.
Nice.
It's the perfect size.
I wish you would have made this like the Taco Bell thing we did in week one.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know how spicy any of this is. Okay, so there's two things that you can decide immediately. Number one is, how much more do you think Justin can improve? Right? You have to figure out, what do you think his ceiling is? How close to that ceiling is he? One of the things you have to factor in is, he has improved this year. We can all say that. Has he improved because he's gotten better, or because the offense has gotten better and just inevitably pulled him up? Like, he has DJ Moore. He didn't have DJ Moore before. He has an offensive line, especially since he got back from his injury, has been much better. So you just need to make that decision.
You also need to factor in, too, who's coached him? Matt Nagy and Luke Getsy. And have they done him any favors?
Right, but that's another.
Right.
This is part two. That's a good segue to part two.
It's not me. Okay.
What offense are you going to run next year? Now, you're not going to like to hear this, but I think if you're rooting for Justin to return, one thing, an immediate announcement you would get that would encourage you is not an announcement you're going to want.
Oh, boy.
If they don't fire Luke Getsy,
mm-hmm.
there's a very good chance they're bringing Justin back, because what that means to them is they think the offense is progressing. And if you fire Getsy, like, if you're going to change quarterbacks, I don't think there's any possible way you're going to stick with Luke Getsy. So if he stays, if that's the announcement, the Flus is back and Getsy's back, it doesn't necessarily mean Justin's coming back, but I think that's a big, that would be,
I agree.
Far more likely to return if Getsy.
I agree. And I think it'll have, like we talked about at the top, I think if they win, if the Bears beat the Packers, there's no question that that's what their announcement is going to be. They're all coming back.
Well, but if they beat the Packers, elite. Don't you think some team is going to hire Luke Getsy to be their head coach?
Well, gee, that'd be a problem to deal with.
Yeah, I'd
have
to agree
with that,
too.
All of a sudden, like, did you see that Bear-Packer game?
Yeah,
that guy's an offensive genius.
He could be the next Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels. Yeah. God.
So those are the two things that you can make those decisions now. The other ones you have to wait, because they are. What are you getting? What are your offers for Justin? When you make it known, hey, if you're interested in him, make an offer. We're listening. Which you have to do.
I tried to warn
people in the column that you're going to hear that the Bears are listening to offers in Justin Fields, and you can't freak out, because if they don't, they're morons, because you can't make this decision without all the information. So
right now, somebody on Twitter said it was his market is a 2 or a 3. Now we'll see.
Yeah, I saw that, and then but the thing is, Sam Darnold got the Panthers a 2 and a 4. So I don't think it's. I would think it's a 2. Yeah. It's at least a 2. It started. The bidding has to start at a 2 and a 4. Darnold had done nothing for the Jets other than that time he freaked out when he was mic'd up, and that time he got mono.
Oh, yeah.
They had the great graphic. Right.
Kissing too many
Sam
people.
Darnold, yep. Mononucleosis, the ESPN graphic.
Yes.
So you got to get that. Then you have to solicit the offers for the number one pick.
Right.
So you got, and that's going to happen around, I would guess both those things happen around combine time, because that's when they made the trade last time, was right after. Mm-hmm. At the combine, Poles basically put a card table out. When you make me an offer, and he just sat there, and all the teams went by, and the Panthers were like, here, take this, take it all. We'll take it to its fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like speed dating.
And then here's the fifth thing that I haven't heard anybody talk about yet, but that if I were Ryan Poles, I would need. And that is, I need to have a conversation with Justin Fields' agent. Mm. And I say to him, all right, if we're going to stick with Justin, we need to figure out what kind of money is he looking for? Because if, you know, the way contract inflation goes in the NFL, what are we up to, like, what does Lamar get, like $40 million a year? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If Justin's going to be a top 10, like a 10 to 12 quarterback in the league, you can't pay him $40 million a year. Because if you pay him that much, you can't surround him with the kind of players you need then to have an effective offense. But if you talk to him and he's looking for like top 10 money, not top 3 money, then you can be like, well, shit, we can make that work. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make $25 million a year instead of 40, we can put players around you.
Right.
And we can have a good offense because he's not, maybe he'll turn into this, but after year three, I think we'd have more signs. You know, you see it with the Chiefs, right? With Patrick Mahomes. Like it's not great when they let Tyreek go and they give him Rashee Rice, but he somehow, even after all the turmoil and all the shit, there are the Chiefs standing there. They've already wrapped up the West. They're going to have a mm-hmm. home playoff game. He just makes that stuff work because he's Patrick Mahomes. You can pay that guy $40 million a year.
Sure.
To me, on the opposite end of that is like Kirk Cousins, right? Like, there's a good mm-hmm. NFL quarterback. If the Vikings could pay him what he's worth, they would have a much better offense around him. But you have to pay him what the market will bear, and he takes mm-hmm. up like a quarter of their cap. And so right. Stephon Diggs has got to go, and then Justin Jefferson comes in, and in 2 years, Justin Jefferson might need to go, and you just have to constantly do the churn.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook had to go last year, right. Yeah.
And then Kirk can't make up the difference. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's just mm-hmm. not good enough to get you back to that. That's why when people are like, well, the Bears, the appeal is you draft a rookie and you get the rookie salary because the Bears are cheap. They don't want to pay the money. That's why they'd want to do that. That's not why they would want to do that.
Right.
The rookie quarterback allows you then to continue to build your roster up because, and I've talked about this before, the Bears used to be cheap because they didn't used to have any money. They have money now. They're not cheap. In fact, they get a little reckless sometimes.
Yes.
Like, all right, here you go. Take it. Who wants money? You want some money? Take some money. We have to spend this much. Just take it. Now, if I'm Justin Fields' agent, am I interested in this conversation? I might just say, fuck off. You'll find out.
I might, yeah. Might say, let's see how next year goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I'm Ryan Poles, I say, well, next year, that's great. But I have the number one pick this year. I don't have the number one pick next year. Or maybe I will, but I don't know.
Maybe you might, right.
So we need to have this conversation now. You need some kind of, if you're really planning for this, you know, you need to have as much of this information as possible. That might be information that you can't get. Mm-hmm. Now, like if I was Justin's agent and I'm thinking, well, shit, if I can guarantee him top 10 quarterback money right now, that seems pretty good. Like it's a lot of money. You might actually be interested in doing that. So that's if they don't have that, I would be amazed if they don't have that conversation. So now the other thing I want to ask you guys is, because we hear this a lot, because I think this has shifted, is if you're Ryan Poles, which is the safer move? Like if your career longevity, is it mm-hmm. keep Justin and keep building this team, or is it go with the rookie quarterback and then keep building the team? Which do you think is the safer choice for Ryan Poles?
It might be the rookie quarterback because that'll extend, you know, his approval rating with the McCaskies or with Kevin Warren. The fact that, you know, he'll be given a 3-year plus window to prove it with this new quarterback. Whereas if you stick with Justin, you maybe only have one or two more years since you're committing to him as your guy.
Okay. Other Mike.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how I agree. I mean, that, you know, where I stand on this. I think that's why I think you have to fire Poles. If you trade Justin Fields, because you are giving him 3 years, at least 3 to 4 years okay. with a rookie quarterback.
Here's my take. I think there is no safe choice anymore. I think that ship sailed last year. I think you had that opportunity last year, and when you didn't take it, what are the expectations for this team, even with a rookie quarterback? If you get the number one, if you take Caleb Williams, number one, what are your expectations next year? You're a playoff team. That's what everybody thinks, right? If you keep Justin, you're a playoff team. Those expectations don't change. It even gets worse. So you say you don't take Caleb, you keep Justin, you struggle, and Caleb goes to the playoffs with some other team, you're fucked. Say you trade Justin, and Justin takes a team to the playoffs, and Caleb doesn't, you're fucked.
That's a good point. That's one factor I didn't consider.
I don't, if you're Ryan Poles, I don't think, I think it's a very good thing for the franchise in that there is, you have to just make, you're now stuck with, you just have to make the right decision because there is no safe decision anymore.
Right.
The only thing I'd quibble with in there, and I think that's a good thing. The only thing I'd quibble with is if they draft Caleb Williams or Drake May, is the expectation they're a playoff team next year? Or do we go, this is a rookie quarterback?
Well, I've actually seen it. People are already like, well, regardless, the roster is being built up enough, plus another draft and another free agent thing. The expectations are going to be that you make the playoffs next year.
Not real hard for Ryan Poles to go, well, look at Bryce Young. You know, look at, hey, he's the first year. He's going to take a couple of years to get going again. That's my only quibble. I think there's no doubt they are a playoff team with Justin Fields coming back next year, especially if you add Marvin Harrison Jr. That's a playoff team.
Yes.
That is a playoff team. And that's a playoff team that, by the way, with some upside, could do some damage.
I think either way, they should be a playoff team next year. Teams make the playoffs with rookie quarterbacks. You don't have to look any further. The Texans are going to make the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. Right. The Bears actually have a better team than the Texans. So
have the Bears swap
Justin out for one of the rookies, your expectations are still that you're going to be. I think the pressure doesn't alleviate on Poles and certainly doesn't on Flus, just because you're like, there is no, like, I feel like the idea that there's a soft reset. They won too many games this year for that. They fucked it.
I'll give you that.
It's like, you fucked up. You know.
You trusted us.
You trusted us. Like, you guys are, if you had only blown two double digit leads, you'd be going to the playoffs. So of course you're going next year. So I think that's which I think I think is fine, because now it's not all the little petty, the 4D chess and all that shit is just out the window. It's simply who makes this better. You know, if you're of the feeling that Justin is a running quarterback who can throw, and that this is a passing league, and that's only going to get you so far, and you're going to switch to the passing quarterback, that's fine. That's your decision. You're making that because you think that's going to win. If it's the opposite, and it's like, well, no, Justin's a good enough quarterback that we can win with him, we're going to stick with him, that's your decision. Go get him. We'll see you in the playoffs. Otherwise, Kevin Warren gets to hire a new general manager, and that general manager gets to hire a new coach because, you know, you're done.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
Oh, I was going to say, there's provisos. Yeah. I mean, if you have a good team and you have a rash of injuries next year or whatever, that kind of stuff. But if that team just goes out, and especially in the North, which is not all that great, if that team goes out and wins 8 games again and is home, everybody's in trouble, regardless of whether you have Caleb Williams or Justin Fields.
So does that same thought process then apply to the Flus?
If they don't make the playoffs next year, he's gone.
No, I'm talking about 2024. Are you assuming the Flus is staying? We believe the reports, Flus is coming back no matter what, or do you think that is an open question?
No, I don't think. If there was an established coach, if this was 2 years ago and Sean Payton was out there, I would shove the Flus into traffic and hire the real coach. There isn't that guy. So you can even kind of look at it as, I think they look at it this way with Matt Eberflus, which is, we know he's gotten us from point A to point B, which is, we're competitive now. Next year, he's got to get us to point C, which is the playoffs. If we make the playoffs next year and we're like, this fucking guy, we're never going to win a Super Bowl with this guy. Even if he makes the playoffs next year, that would be the time for the big boy franchise to go, great job, we're getting the guy to take the next step. If he doesn't make the playoffs next year, I don't think he even had the conversation.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't asking. Oh,
no,
I know.
You were asking if you have playoff expectations for next year, should you stick with Matt Eberflus? That's what you were asking, right?
Yeah. Right.
I think yes. I think. I think the more open question for the Flus is, are you still going to be the defensive coordinator next year?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think, I think he, sh- I think that's part of the deal, right? You can come back as head coach, but you still got to be the defensive coordinator because that
I would make that a condition. I would make that as a condition. Yeah.
I even kind of think that it might make him like a more effective head coach because the way it apparently works, I think The Athletic wrote about this during the games, is that he's the defensive coordinator, and then Phil Snow, the guy they brought in to be like his, you know, analyst guy. When the defense comes off the field and the Fluce goes into head coach mode, Phil has the conversations with like the position coaches and stuff on the headset that a defensive coordinator would typically have. Mm-hmm. And then he and the Fluce catch up. And the Fluce really on offense is only worried about stuff like telling Getsy if it's 3rd and 5 on the 25, like you've got 2 plays to get a first down. Right. Figure out when to call the timeout, which Jason McCourty is like, oh, you know, don't worry. The Fluce is, what did he say?
It's so great about
he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. Yeah.
So I kind of think that maybe it gives him a little more of like a purpose during games than mm-hmm. before. He was just flipping back and forth on the headset, like, you know, meddling maybe a little too much because he's bored. I like
we
that.
Can't argue with the results. It's certainly been that way since he's taken over. Yeah.
So I think I would say, yes, you can hire, you know, he's a defensive assistant short.
Right.
Replace that guy, but you're still the coordinator because that shit mm-hmm. works. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're not over there strategizing all the shit that you need to spend all your time as the head. In fact, the less time you spend, you know, as
the better.
Maybe
yeah.
the better.
Just stick to this side of the
stick to what you're good at, Matt.
Yeah, stick to defense. Yeah, it'll almost be sort of a reverse Ditka, Buddy Ryan thing, maybe in that way.
Yeah. It would be reversed. Wouldn't it be great though if on Sunday, if you know the Bears offense starts to sputter and he goes over and he just rips the play sheet out of Getsy's hands?
Get the best.
Yeah.
In fact, if when Ditka dies, which you know, I'm sure it's a long ways off,
I get assured
the guy who will endorse anything has not been seen for the last 18 months. You know, Fluce is going to have to do the slick back hair and the sweater with yep. the horizontal thing, and he absolutely yep. in that game has to rip the play sheet out of whoever the offensive coordinator's hands is. That has to happen. That's a final
better have a mustache.
If he
better
have
a mustache.
He has to grow a mustache.
Yeah, he has to have a mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, and this last week will have impact towards next year in terms of scheduling, too. Bears win, both them and the Packers will finish 8-9. The Vikings, if they were to win against the Lions, would finish 8-9. So you had three teams there tied between second and fourth. Do we know? Like, that would put all three of those teams at a 3-3 divisional record.
Ooh.
Do we know how it would all shake out in terms of, yeah.
I would guess it's reverse strength of schedule, right? So, like, the weaker your schedule, then the weaker the – so, like, if you played the weakest schedule of the three teams, you would end up then getting the weakest – you'd effectively become the fourth-place team. And if you had the second-weakest schedule, you become the third-place team. And the team with the toughest schedule is the second-place team. It's a reward for having a tougher schedule. Of course, their schedules can't be that drastically different. And they all play
right.
Six of the games are
– it's only a difference of – three opponents that they don't all play. Yeah.
Right. It's just the, so like for the Bears, it's the Bears, I would guess, have the weakest schedule because they're playing the last place teams because they are the last place team. Although who knows the way the NFL varies from year to year. It's a good question.
Yeah.
But also, like you said, it really will only affect three games for next year.
Right.
You'll play if the Bears end up winning and they're the second place team, they'll play those three second place teams instead of like the Packers get the third place teams in the fight or whatever. The rest of your schedule stays the same. So when we need Donahue, he's our schedule savant. that they played? They're like, what? Why do you know that? Well, that was the year that Tampa went 2-14 and good old Donald Igwebuike got hit by the golf cart. Like, what? No, I don't remember. I don't remember any of that. How do I know what schedule they played that year? I just don't know. So what's the deal with the Packers? Like, they're just like their quarterback. They're just like Jordan Love. Like,
you sound like a stand-up.
I know. That's my terrible Jerry Seinfeld impression. What's the deal with the Packers? Like, so they beat the shit out of the Vikings on Sunday night.
Yep.
But, like, they lost to the Giants. They almost lost to the freaking Panthers. I feel like they're not any good. Maybe it's because I want that to be true. I just feel like they're really not any good. Jordan Love, who's been, he's the epitome of them. He's either great or he's terrible.
Yeah, right.
He only needs like 120 yards. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards, and he's already got 30 touchdown passes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin's not going to throw for 3,000 yards. It's like, Jesus, right. How do they? I don't get it. They did get Jameer Alexander. They'll get him back. He got suspended. It's the greatest suspension in NFL history. Do you know why he got suspended last week?
Gambling?
No. Better. So when they played the Panthers, they have three captains. And Jair decided he's from Charlotte. He's just going to be the fourth captain. So he went out for the coin toss, and he made the call. And the Packers won the toss, and they were supposed to defer. And Jair said, we want a kick. And if the ref hadn't said, are you sure you don't want to defer? Uh-huh. The Packers would have kicked off in both halves. And so he gets back to the sidelines, and LaFleur is looking at him like, what the fuck were you even out there for? Right. He basically deputized himself, and he made himself the captain. And he told the story in his post-game interview. Is hysterical. He's talking about, and that even the reporter, he clearly doesn't know what defer means. They're still talking about it. And the reporter's like, so did you mean to defer? And he's like, yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, well, no, we could hear the ref had his mic on. We could hear what you said. Oh, you could? Whoops.
Oh.
So they suspended him for the Viking game. He didn't play. For, wow. You know.
It was that's awesome. Best. That's great.
Talk about getting, he gets suspended for going rogue and making himself a captain. Ugh. You don't see the Bears wouldn't have done that to Cairo. Whenever he wants to be captain, he can be captain.
Oh, yeah. They'll stitch that right on him on the sidelines.
It's in his contract. It's a new contract.
Well, that was the only Christmas present I needed was Cairo's contract extension.
There you
go. Greatest holiday ever. Yeah. Three more years. Three more years of the greatest kicker in NFL history. The most accurate kicker in Bears history. Go feed your family with that, Robbie Gould.
Yeah, Robbie. Yeah.
All right. Well, because I knew the announcer things, I didn't bother to look up who was doing the announcing or what the line was. Now I have to look that up real quick.
Oh, yes. What is the line? Do you know the line, Perez? Perez seems to know the line.
I believe Packers are 3-point favorites.
It's basically a draw then.
Yep.
Even Vegas.
Meet them somewhere in the middle. Meet them in Milwaukee.
We don't know what to do with these Bears. They're just too good.
Convert Miller Park into a football field, making a neutral game, equal distance to go for both fan bases.
Packers by 3. I don't see. What's the. Do you got an over under? I didn't see an over under here. Ended up on some Packer blog where the guy's stuffing his face with cheese curds.
Cheese and brats.
Cheese and brats. Looking on ESPN right now. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Packers 3-point favorites. Over under 44.5.
Yeah. I'm expecting at least some points.
Perfect. Bears line. Yeah.
Yeah, for a 24-20. Bears loss. They haven't won up there since 2015. Is that right? Jake Cutler was the quarterback.
On Thanksgiving, right. Yeah.
John Fox's only victory over the Packers, I believe.
The Brett Favre number retirement game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, they should retire somebody's number this week just for the...
Exactly.
retire Aaron Rodgers. He's not busy. You can come back.
Yeah. like the Sox did with Harold Baines. Yeah. Retire it while he's still an active player.
And they haven't beaten them at all since 2018. The Eddie
Division
Jackson
clincher.
With the interception in the end zone that hurts his knee and misses the playoff game.
Yeah.
Yay.
That was a kiss of death for that Bears era. Yeah.
Little did we know. We should have known that it was things were already going off the rails. The Nagy offense had been thoroughly.
That's true.
Been exposed, but even before then, we didn't know it. Mm-hmm. Like, their last good game was that the ridiculous the overtime game against the Giants. They ended up losing, but that was the one where Trey Burton wouldn't throw the Philly special. Do you remember that? So Trey had thrown the Philly special.
Yeah, it
in
was
the Super Bowl
Tariq
the year
Cohen
before.
That did it, right?
The Bears have him. They call the play, and he's like, "I can't do it." So literally, they line up. Tariq Cohen switched spots with him, and Tariq threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I can't do it, guys. You did it at the Super Bowl. You can't do it at 12 in the Meadowlands.
In the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Come on.
That's why there is a statue of the Philly special in front of the link, but Trey Burton is not in the statue. It's just Doug Peterson and Nick Foles. All right. So who you guys got, Bears or Packers?
Well, as you guys know, I had said in previous weeks that beginning of the season, I did take the over on Bears wins at 7.5. Knowing that I have a bet riding on this game that could potentially win me money, I'm going to say the Packers win and cover.
You're so fatalist.
Yeah.
Are you trying to double whammy yourself? You're like... So,
yes, exactly.
Oh no, I was, you know, fully expecting that, you know, because you pick the Packers, the Bears will win. Yeah. All right, Mike.
Well, all right, I'm going to pick up on that logic then, and I picked the Bears for the season to go 7-10 with a firing of the flutes, all of which can still happen.
It's still good, yeah.
But I gotta cheer for the beloved. So I'm gonna cheer for the. I'm gonna pick the Bears to squeak by. I'll pick the Bears by one.
If the game was on Fox, I would take the Packers, but it's not.
There
it's
we
on
go.
CBS. The ghosts of Pat Summerall and John Madden, and I assume Tim Ryan's still alive. We know Johnny Morris is still alive.
Yeah, I think he is. They are.
Now, if CBS has any feeling for nostalgia, don't you think Tim and Johnny would like do the voiceover for the open?
Oh, it'd be the best.
Oh,
they play the old CBS music, and hey, Brent can come back, and he can. You are looking live at Lambeau Field. Need to break it all out, and the Fridge can catch a touchdown pass. I'm sure he's in. I'm sure he's still ambulatory.
Yeah. Show Charles
so I'm
going to
take.
Mullen,
I'm going to harken back. I know this game was actually at Soldier's Field, but I remember it from my youth. Bears 61, Packers 7.
Let's go.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Not messing around.
It was
around.
What, 1980?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I remember I was young enough, and they talked about this. I remember this crap that Gary Fetzig intercepted a pass, and I just thought he could turn and run. The other end zone was closer. And I just couldn't understand why he didn't just turn and run into that one. Why he tried to run all the way down the field and he got tackled. Like, his end zone's right there. Like, well, no, you have to go. You're guarding, defending that one. You score in that one. Just, I don't. What does this mean? I don't know.
Just do the Jim Marshall, the classic clip you always see of him.
Yeah, his Hall of Fame career that he's only remembered for the time that he. But that one's so weird. It's not like he didn't get like spun around a bunch of times. He just picks it up and just starts running the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
All right.
I'm sure it'll, whatever the outcome, it will make for a spirited season finale of this podcast.
Certainly will.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, go Bears.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Many of us have herpes.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. I mean, got to congratulate the Dolan family.
I don't know. What's up yours?